Welcome everyone out this morning. This is our Monday, March 16th regular session of Commissioners Court. We'll start this morning with an invocation by Commissioner Burka, and after that we'll stand for our pledges.
Pray with me. Father, today, Lord, we just come to you asking that you watch over us, and we ask you to help us to make good decisions for the citizens and the employees of our county. Father, we just thank you for your many blessings, the good rains we've had, and Lord, we just ask that you protect our properties and help us in every way that you can. We just thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
I don't roam very well.
Item three is consider and take action on approval of A, the minutes of the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item B are payroll changes.
Make a motion to approve payroll changes.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Groves, seconded by Commissioner Spencer to approve payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
Payroll changes are approved. Item C is payroll.
Move to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Spencer, seconded by Commissioner Groves to approve payroll. Those in favor?
Aye.
I abstain.
Payroll is approved. Three D are budget amendments.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Burka, seconded by Commissioner Groves to approve budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
I've jumped all over it. We got to decide where that's going to come from.
Okay.
I have a fill in the blank one over there.
Which one?
Judge
they don't have
Mains and Judge Skinner both have three required schools to go to this year, and there was not enough funding in their education line for them to be able to attend all three. And they don't have it within their budget, or it would deplete everything they have for every other line item.
Contingency.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Contingency.
Yes, sir.
Contingency.
Okay. You need to make it a motion.
Yeah, I make the motion to approve the budget amendments with the JP3 education coming out of contingency.
One and four.
Oh, one and four?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's one and four. I'm sorry.
Is that second also?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Burka, seconded by Commissioner Gentry, is to make the budget amendments with the decreases coming from 409 contingency. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Accounts payable.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Gross to approve accounts payable. Those in favor?
Aye.
Accounts payable are approved. He billed by the hour. Got track of the hour. 3F is to accept for recording auditor reports, treasurer reports, bonds, oaths, deputations, certificates, Upshur County Appraisal District Audit, Court Payment Card Processing Participation Agreement between Upshur County and Tyler Technologies.
Motion to record.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Burkett, second by Commissioner Gentry to record those documents. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those are recorded. Item 3G are applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights-of-way and permit requests.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Gross to approve the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights-of-way and permit requests. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 4 is discuss and take action concerning a request to use the courthouse lawn and/or the county's vacant lot next to the Roberts Building. We had several of those this time. A is the Gilmer Area Chamber of Commerce for the annual Easter egg hunt on Saturday, April 4th, 2015, at 11:00 a.m. B is the Upshur County 4-H County Council to host a family movie night on the square, and that would be over on the vacant lot. C is a progressive car cruise for Saturday, April 11th, 2015, and Wayne Oney is here if we have any questions for that. I believe, Wayne, you wanted to use the lot across the street.
And we might have a vendor to set up on the lawn.
Okay.
Maybe.
And D is the Women's Center of East Texas for National Crime Victims Right Week on April the 23rd, 2015, and they were going to use the vacant lot, they believed.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Gross to approve all those requests. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 5 is to hear from Cynthia King, the Upshur County Librarian, concerning updates and hours of operation of the library. Ms. King?
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'd like to first thank Paula Dean. The library had an open house last Tuesday, and she was able to attend. The next thing is the library's service hours. Since the library not only is for Gilmer, we service the whole area of Upshur County, and by the Texas State Library, that is over 34,000 people. So we have extended our hours from 45 hours a week to 51 hours a week. On Monday, our hours are from 8 to 6. On Tuesday, they are 8 to 7. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, our hours are 8 to 6, and we're still closed on Saturday and Sunday. The library has partnered with the Lighthouse of East Texas and is offering a workshop tomorrow from 10 to noon, and it's for the blind and visually impaired. And the workshop is called iDevice. Anybody is welcome to come to the workshop to teach you how to use your smartphone, your tablets, your Nooks, and your Kindles. And also, since the library's partnered with the Lighthouse of East Texas, they have given us a special big screen computer, monitor, and a computer system with special software on it for the blind and visually impaired, and we have that available now to the public as well. Also, we want to repaint the library. We will pay for it ourselves, and I brought color samples that I would like y'all to approve as repainting, and I have extra copies if y'all want.
So, anyone have a final?
Yeah, I don't have any trouble with any of them.
Yeah, we can't do that.
I know we're not historic, but, and these are not historic colors.
We can certainly probably approve it next time.
Okay.
We have to be very careful, though. We can't discuss or certainly can't vote on anything that's not on the agenda.
Okay.
But we'll have an agenda item next time.
Also, another thing is the library, by the Texas State Library standards, we have to have a five-year strategic plan in place. We are currently working on that five-year strategic plan. We would like input from the commissioner's board, from county employees, and we're going to get input from the public. So if y'all have anything, please give us a call, or you can send us an email.
And are you going to want to paint the inside? Or it's going to be the inside?
Oh, this is the inside. We want to paint the inside, not the outside.
Okay.
This is my office, and then the staff office, and where the reference desk is at.
Okay. We appreciate you coming up and visiting with us. Do y'all have any questions?
Thank you for changing your hours. I do want to say that, because I had several people ask that be done, so thank you for doing that.
And in the library, we've created some, like, sitting areas for people to just sit and read. So we've made a lot of changes, if y'all would like to come and look.
I've already had comments about the seating areas and stuff in the library, how it's more welcoming and friendly and everything. So I appreciate the effort that you put forth, and I was glad to be able to come and be in attendance for your Meet the Librarian. It was pretty cool.
Item 6 is discuss and take action to accept and record subdivision plat for Eagle Ridge Phase 2.
Okay. Here is, he's getting ready to do the roads. He's already talked to Andy and is wanting to get his plats filed and signed so that he can start his roads. So I'll make a motion that we accept the filing of his plats.
You got his check?
Got his check. Got the
craps,
got the big ones.
That's
ready to go.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Burka to file the plat for the Eagle Ridge Phase 2 subdivision. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved.
Bring your check, mate, in a minute.
That's tax certificate. Item 7 is discuss and take action to paint Precinct 1 and Precinct 4 Justice of the Peace offices.
That's...
Do you know what color we're painting, David?
Yes, sir. I believe Wyoming's using the common color that we use here, and...
The JP4 is like a tan?
It's taupe, coffee, something like it's light.
Okay.
Make a motion that we approve these paintings of precinct JPs 1 and 4.
Can you clarify who is supposed to pay for that paint?
They are buying their paint because it's, well, Wyoming's we will buy because she's choosing the courthouse renovation colors. Becky will purchase hers for precinct 4.
Wyoming already has her paint.
Okay.
No one told, I was under the impression that if it was a color other than white or courthouse preservation color, that the office holder was going to pay for it out of their own pocket. No one told Mr. Womble that when he took over the maintenance department. So the county has already purchased paint that is not white or courthouse preservation color. I need to know whether this elected official is going to be reimbursing the county for that paint.
It's my understanding she already did.
Not to our knowledge.
Okay. Well, she intends to.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And the real rule is that you just don't paint without the court's permission. So there's no specific rules about who pays for what colors and all that. It's just we like to know what color you're going to paint it. Because we've had a couple offices painted like a royal blue color years ago.
Let me ask you this, as long as we're there, because if it's an office in the county courthouse that's going to be subject to the historical thing, are we still okay with painting it another color other than the historical color?
For now, we are.
Are we?
So are we, she will be required to reimburse the county for this paint?
Yes. She understands that she will be purchasing her paint.
Okay.
Motion still stands.
I'll second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, seconded by Commissioner Gross to paint JP 1 and 4. Their offices, those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 8, discuss and take action on purchase of a wand for Constable Precinct 1 out of courthouse security.
And I put that on there as a request from my constable and judge. Constable Dolly's here if anybody needs to ask any questions, but he is going to a school in September, I think. June. And they are requested to bring a wand with them.
What is that, a mandatory school?
I'm going to Sam Houston State University is putting on a special school for constables because the Constitution requires or demands that we bail up our courts and security. So they're putting on a special 3-day school to train constables how to properly run their court and secure it. And they're also going to be bringing you up to date on how to find guns and explosives that people are starting to bring into some of the Texas JP courtrooms, apparently, because they're going to be giving training on that. There's going to be some people there telling them what's happened. They're going to show you how on your wand, some people, if they got an explosive on them, some kind of explosive device, you have to be careful. That wand might actually set that thing off. So I don't want my judge blowed up or me. So it helps us. We've only got one paddle that was given to us by the Marshal Service, and it's used at the alternative school.
Sir? Oh, I thought
that.
No, I'm talking to the county clerk.
This here would be for our court, because our court has become much more active since January, and I'm thankful for that.
Did I understand you, the first thing you said was the Constitution demands that you bailiff the court?
It requires you bailiff the court. Yeah, that's your responsibility as a constable is to bailiff your JP court and secure it.
Is that done all the time? Is that being done? Is that being done?
I do it.
You do it in your court?
And I have a bailiff in my court. Judge Parrish has one.
Motion to approve the purchase of a wand for JP 1 and Constable 1.
Let me ask you before I go forward with that. Can that be a wand, Constable? Can that be a wand utilized for, instead of just your area, can it be loaned?
Absolutely.
To the other constables?
Sure.
So we don't have to buy another one?
Sure.
We'll reword this motion. Could we word it to where we buy one for the county and Mr. Dolly's in possession? So that way the county has one.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. She's made a motion already.
Well, now that y'all are talking about sharing, what if they have court on the same day? You can't dictate who has what, so.
No, he'll have priority over it because it's his possession.
Okay.
How much does it cost?
Normally $249, but he has it for $149 plus $10 shipping.
All the Air Force are going to this new wand.
Well, he had told me that he tried to borrow one. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it didn't work. So if we had an instance where we needed one.
Well, there's only one in the county.
Yeah, so we could share a little bit.
So you used alternative school.
I would like the court to, if you decide to do this, to give me the responsibility of it because these can be lost or tore up.
Yes, it'd be in your possession. That's what I would.
Okay.
So keep up.
Set the motion.
Yes, it is. Amend my motion to have Mr. Dolly in possession of the wand.
I'll second.
Motion by Commissioner Gentry, seconded by Commissioner Gross to purchase the wand out of courthouse security. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 9 is discuss and take action on county email addresses, passwords, and use of county computers for personal use.
I requested this get put on the agenda. We've got situations where we're using up an awful lot of bandwidth by different uses of our county computers. We've got email situations where we've got public information. County information, I guess it's public anyway, but it just gets out on the airwaves because people are using their personal emails. I think we've got county computers and they ought to have county emails. We used to have a problem when we only had 100 emails allocated from ETEX. We now have, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, 250?
Licenses.
E-licenses for email, so we have plenty of email capacity. In my discussions about the emails in particular, it's been suggested, and I want to hear what y'all think, but it's been suggested that we have a common email for a department, which the department head then needs to train their people what to do with that email when it comes in. Say, treasure@countyofupshire.com, and then when it comes into there, however it's opened up and read and forwarded to the particular people. But at minimum, everybody in the county that has use of email to communicate between departments and people within the community, at minimum to have a personal email in your most common name. Now, I understand that if someone, Mr. Gross, Commissioner Gross, you're Donald Gross, right?
Don.
Are you known as Don or is your...
Yes.
Are you Donald?
No.
Okay. If someone were, for example, Donald.Gross@countyofupshire.com, let's say that was their given name, Donald, but they go by Don. I understand Estella can, what's the word, alias? Alias a name. So someone that would even put in Donald.Gross, it would alias to Don Gross, and it would get to Don. But if we had a generic
email address, commissioners@countyofupshur.com, goes in and our secretary opens it up and forwards it to, if it's a particular email, to one of us. So that's where I'm at on emails. That's kind of where I am. And if there's any discussion.
There's nothing wrong with creating an email address like that. It's like treasurer@countyofupshur.com. But what the court doesn't have the authority to do is to tell the treasurer or any other elected official, you are going to use this email address.
Okay. But we can tell them that they can't use personal email to communicate within the county. So that corrected that little problem.
I'm not sure you can tell an elected official what email address to use. No, I'm not. I don't think you can. Now, library, road and bridge, building maintenance. We can tell them what email address to use, but any other elected official, I don't think we can do it. Now, I think it's a good idea.
Okay, I understand. Well, okay, but one of us is right, and I understand you're the law guy, okay?
That doesn't mean I'm right.
Okay. But one of you,
probably either you're right or 12 years sitting here.
So that part of it, and we don't have to make a decision on this today. This is for discussion.
Okay.
I'm not asking to make a decision today,
well,
but that's
just
a good
let's
point.
Let's just find out.
Let's find out.
Well, let's just recommend it, and hey.
And find out the answer for sure.
Yeah.
I want to find out if we can dictate as to how emails are handled within the county. I guess that's what we're asking, right?
Right.
And then just for further discussion, when we leave today, because there's going to be people within the county that are going to want to talk about it amongst themselves and what to do, and that input's important as well. So we wouldn't want to just leave it dead that we're going to do it this way and no other way. So I'll look into the legality of.
Does it have to do with security, Estella? When you're using private,
well,
like a Hotmail or.
It does.
Gmail.
I mean, if there were something in there.
But doesn't our firewall protect us?
Our firewall does try and protect us. But I'm just. Security meaning, does the county retain or have the right to retain that email after that person leaves? Or, do we have the right to scan it? To ensure, it's safe.
Okay.
If an individual uses only their personal email to communicate, and they leave us, and there's information we need, how do we get it if they don't want to give us their password?
If they use a personal email account and they leave, we have none of that.
You have none of it.
It doesn't reside on our server. We don't have access to it at all.
Okay. But because, let me ask you this, and that's probably you more so, if someone uses their email only to communicate county business, their personal email to communicate county business, and there's an issue later on that something comes up and we need, for some reason, public information or whatever comes up and we have to get into that email, then does that open up their personal emails to?
Yeah. Anything that we sit back and forth over our phones or anything is subject to.
That's on elected officials, but I don't know about employees.
I did talk to Diane at TAC, and if we're using a Yahoo or AOL, whatever email we're using, we are supposed to open records. We have to save that. Every email that's in that email, we're supposed to be saving it. It's open records. Like if we're using this one, if we're using
AOL for using Yahoo, we're supposed to be saving it because it's not on the server. It's whatever we're using. We are supposed to be saving every email in some type of folder or printing it out. We are supposed to save it.
You're supposed to?
Yes.
If it's in regard to county business?
Yes.
Okay.
And how would we know you did or didn't?
But I'm just saying.
But if it was a county email.
Mine's in folders.
Yeah, but if it was a county email address only, it would automatically be saved, right?
Mine's right. Mine's only county. I mean, it's not without. I have too many problems with not getting emails, but mine's only a county email. I don't use it for personal use at all. It's only county emails, and I have folders. Everything's saved.
The advantage to using county email is that the server is also backed up. So if something were to happen and a local hard drive crashes, that email could be lost, or if they get a virus. If it's on the server, it's set up in a RAID so that it's secured across several hard drives, and then it also has a backup. So it would be more, I guess, secure for long term.
Why don't we study on it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
Because the one other issue is that Estella's going to have to make some changes to our passwords, and our passwords are going to have to be more secure. Last Friday, there were about 35,000 attempts on our server. They all came one morning, so they were and they all hit our server at one time. So if we're logged in to Outlook and we just stay logged in all the time, that's a problem. And if our password is just real simple, that's a problem. So, but she and I are going to work on that a little bit more together, and we'll talk about it all again.
Can we mention this? The fact that we're not turning off our computers at night is they're open. They're just there. Is that right?
If you lock them, if your computer is locked, it's actually the security updates come out at night. Like when Microsoft releases their security updates and stuff, they release them at like a midnight on the second Tuesday of the month. So your computer can be updated at night if it's on. You just don't want to walk away and leave it unlocked and so that anybody can walk up and get into your stuff. It's turning it off doesn't,
But if they keep it unlocked, they don't have to go in and change their passwords.
Right.
That's where the problem is.
That people don't like to change their passwords. It's difficult to remember them. I mean, I understand, that, but it's not secure, and we need a way to secure them.
If in the absence of locking them, can you default them to shut down?
I can put a timer on them so that they're inactive for 4 hours, they lock, or if they're inactive, that they sleep, which is basically the same thing as shutting them down. If y'all wanted to make some sort of agreement that we do something like that. Most businesses will lock them after 10 minutes. If your keyboard's inactive for 10 minutes, they'll lock it. But I realize the county has very different needs, and 10 minutes would be...
Can you lock them after 8 hours a day? Come in at 9 o'clock and 8 hours later they're locked, unless somebody's here and they want to use it again.
Well, you typically do it off activity on the computer. So like if you have somebody that's working until, 10 o'clock at night, if there's activity, you would wait until that computer was no longer active to lock it.
Why don't we table it.
Okay.
Look at it again soon.
There's no action.
Yeah, no action on item 9. Number 10 is discuss and take action to purchase copier for dispatch from non-departmental office machines.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Gross, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to purchase a copier for dispatch out of office machines and equipment, non-departmental. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's approved. Item 11 is discuss and take action to approve payment of bill for rekeying of offices at the courthouse out of courthouse security.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Burkett, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to approve the payment of the bill for the Reed King out of courthouse security. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 12 is discuss and take action on data use agreement between the Texas Health and Human Services Enterprises and Upshur County. This is, the county clerk needs this, and it's in regard to our birth certificates and our ability to print birth certificates downstairs for people when they walk in.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Grove, seconded by Commissioner Gentry to approve the contract between the county and Texas Health and Human Services. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 13 is discuss and take action to replace, clean, or repair carpet in the Justice Center. We recently had a leak in the Justice Center. A hot water heater busted, and it flooded, and it was over a holiday, and so there was a lot of water down there. I appreciate Judge Parrish being here with her input, if she wants to. I went down there and looked at it, and I can tell you that the carpet in the district courtroom is pretty bad, but Judge Parrish says that's not our main issue, and we all know that in that courtroom. The carpet is stained in the sheriff's office down the hallway and in the front area, so did anyone else have an opportunity to go look? Okay. Any suggestions of what y'all want to do, what we need to do?
Well, I would try cleaning it first to see if that had any change in it.
I'd like to try cleaning the carpet in the courthouse, I mean, in the sheriff's office first.
I think we, this money's, can we put it in a separate ear tag?
We did receive the money Friday, $7,351. It's not on the agenda for this time because we just got it Friday, but next time I can certify the revenue. We can earmark it through the end of this year for a specific purpose. If we want to earmark it past that, we'll just need to take some kind of court action and move it into a separate fund.
Okay, I'm moving that we stain.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think we're going to make the motion that I would like to hear, but I had asked that this be tabled simply because I'm supposed to be picking a jury right now in Jefferson. I've got jurors waiting on me there, and I'll question there after we finish here, but I didn't get any indication that it would be tabled. I didn't understand the urgency because the carpet, I think, the Commissioner's Court needs to know that the carpet is in no worse condition today in the courtroom than it was prior to the water leak. That carpet was installed in 1987, the same carpet we've always had. It is in bad shape. There's a lot of aesthetic problems with the courtroom, but my concern is that I don't want to see tax dollars go to re-carpet or to paint the courtroom when that's really not our problem. I know the other stuff's not on the agenda today, but I've spoken it, and the opportunity to meet with at least three of you and go look at some of the issues with the courtroom. I don't want to see tax dollars paid. I don't want to spend put $100 saddle on a $10 mule, so to speak. I think it would be throwing good tax dollars after bad to do anything aesthetic to the courtroom, because those are not the real concerns are those that affect the comfort and convenience of jurors and the judicial process. And while it needs, the walls are bad and the carpet is bad, without argument, that carpet is bad. But we've lived with it for 8 years. And I just don't want to say, I think Mr. Spencer was the one that suggested shampooing it. I didn't even know that was a possibility that it was on the agenda today. I didn't put it on the agenda, so I didn't know what it was. But, I don't see any problem with shampooing the carpet. And from my part, I'm not making any comment on the sheriff's department's part. I don't even know what kind of damage they have. I'm not trying to step over there at all. But the hallways that are my hallways in and out of the courtroom and the courtroom, shampooing would be fine with me. And that's all that I can approve. I just can't in good conscience approve spending tax money to re-carpet it or to paint it.
It just would make economic sense.
If you don't spend that money for the repairs in this where the insurance damage was, if you don't use that money for that.
Well, like I said, y'all could.
It's going to go to the general fund?
In the future, you could take an action to move it over into a separate fund. And we'll,
yeah, we can.
You know,
and then it could still be spent.
Long-term plans in the future. Because right now, we don't have the money to do anything. Yeah. But, you know, I'm talking long-term. I'm not talking this year, next. I'm talking about, mm-hmm. We all need to put our heads together about some things. But the only entity in the Justice Center that has not been enlarged since its inception in 1987 is the courtroom. Every department, jail, all everything has been enlarged or moved to a bigger place. So anyway, and there's nowhere to grow, but we're living with it. And I'm just saying that now. I just hate to see any money spent to make it look better when the real problems are functional, and they involve the comfort and convenience of drawers, and that's where it's important. And I just don't want to spend the money.
There's chairs and a lot of stuff that needs some work down there.
A lot of stuff. And even though they sent us $7,300, the total replacement cost value was $13,800. It had depreciation and
investment. We can't talk about that money on this agenda item, but we'll earmark it later.
But I can say something about it. And I read the adjuster's report, and they have the carpet as 15-plus years old in the corporate. That's not right, but I just want to make it clear it is 28 years old. But anyway, and I understand that from the brief, if there's not enough money to cover it, and because of that, even more so, we just don't need to spend that.
I'll move that we rent a shampooer and clean the carpet ourselves, our maintenance clean the carpet, and to be paid for the shampoo and the rental out of the insurance money.
Now, before we vote on that, when we just did the library,
uh-huh.
David, what did that cost?
$1,200 to do 8,000 square feet. It's about 15 cents a square foot, and it's guaranteed.
Instead of maintenance, doing the iron, renting a deal.
He's short right now.
Down, I'm talking about, but Gene's got inmates down there.
And they're short too. We didn't give them enough budget, and you got the money right here. And it's 15 cents a square foot.
But we can spend $75 for a rental on a deal because I did it last time.
There's no guarantee when we do that, though.
No. What kind of guarantee do you get on a 28-year-old car?
Till you're happy.
I said it for you.
How would I do it, Ray? Said miracle.
Okay, well, this is about the
same
thing. Right,
because
it was built
today.
They did
outstanding.
Life over miracle.
Mm-hmm. Gene and them are short-handed. Well, not short-handed.
Short money.
They won't spend any money.
Okay.
I mean, but the money's going to come out of the insurance money.
Sure. Right.
So let inmates do it. I don't know if y'all aren't for it. I'm going to vote against it. That's just mine. You don't like what
I'd rather hire somebody. But
yeah.
You'd rather hire.
I like the guarantee.
I'll make a motion that we hire the company that cleaned the library and the other justice offices to try to salvage what they can out of the carpet and clean down there.
Okay.
I second it.
Thank you.
And the first motion was.
He never got out of the middle.
Okay. First motion was to rent a carpet cleaner and do it ourselves. Is there a second to that motion? Okay, that fails for lack of a second. Second motion by Commissioner Gentry, second by Commissioner Burka, is to hire the same company that cleaned the library.
Pay for it out of that.
And pay for it out of the insurance funds. We're going to clean the sheriff's office. And do Judge Parrish, do you want the courtroom cleaned?
It'd be great, though. It needs cleaning, and that would be nice.
Okay. And to clean the district courtroom. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank y'all.
I had to. No. Move to adjourn.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.